You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today. I so much appreciate Parrot and Sven popping in for me yesterday, because yesterday I actually got to do an interview with a local college student that's a big supporter of Black Lives Matter, and we actually were able to go ahead and get footage ourselves of the event, because if it's going to be with probably that biased of a reporter, we decided to go ahead and we were going to film as well. So we're actually in the process of cutting it down to a greatest hits that I think you guys are going to enjoy. It was a pretty exciting interview, and really, I think, was surprising for the gal who was doing the questioning. And, of course, Jason Augustus, who's joining me today, was there. So first of all, Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Doing great?
Yep.
The best?
The best.
Here, it's kind of a dreary day in southern Indiana, but our spirits are high. Now, the interview we did yesterday, I thought it was interesting that her line of questioning was so based on, at least initially, on stereotypes. And if there's one thing I enjoy more than almost anything else on the planet, it's being able to outflank the enemy when it comes to her line of questioning, because she was asking questions about white privilege. And then, of course, when you start dropping dank stats about the Jewish overrepresentation in the 1%, in the media, in the Supreme Court, and things like that, and talk about the privilege of the average Jew in America versus the average white working class person, you see a large disparity. And that, you really start to break down this narrative, because a lot of these people have never done research into the facts, into the statistics, but what they do have is talking points their professors approved of. So what were your initial thoughts? Of course, we'll be able to have the video up later this week, but what were your thoughts on the interview?
My initial thoughts when we first walked into the room and I saw her setting up and her initial line of questioning, my first thought was, Miss, you are not prepared.
You're out of your element, Donnie.
You are out of your element. Yeah, she just had the sort of like the basic cultural Marxist talking points and line of questioning for the white supremacist that is the Matthew effing Heimbach. So I was just, you know, I was appreciating it. And then when she brought up white privilege, I was just like, oh, wow. So this is your level, huh?
This is where we're going. Yeah. And you handle it and you break it down. And, you know, she thought that she, you know, was able to possibly outflank us. And, you know, in regards to she, of course, has a black husband. You know, I'm not surprised. But, you know, honestly, she was pretty nice and asking, like, well, if you people want to have self-determination for your people and you want to be able to secure the existence of your people in a future for white children, does that mean you're going to kill my family? No. No, it doesn't.
No.
Really? Yes. I don't care about your family. You've decided to do that. America's a pretty big country. Why don't you go ahead and have your own space? San Francisco sounds great. And then there isn't a problem. They've got this stereotype of what we think that's absolutely the opposite of what we believe.
And when she had mentioned that she was married to a black man, she was looking at us like we were supposed to give some kind of like crazy over the top Jerry Springer.
What?
Yeah. And yeah, I was just like, oh, that's great. I really don't care.
Yeah, ain't none of my business.
Yeah,
I'm trying to stop the international Jewish system from demographically displacing my people and having us being stripped of any and all say within our government and our future. What you decide to do, and considering, you know, the proposal that we put forward, is that we want to be able to balkanize the United States. So whites will be able to get our own independent state, blacks will be able to get the same, Chicanos will be able to get the same. But you know what? There's a lot of mixed families in America. There's a lot of people that, you know, white folks that want to go down the road to multiculturalism and globalism. I'm not going to force you to live in a white ethno state. If you're not on board, if you're not a team player, I don't want you on board. You're not part of the team. So okay, that's fine. You know, it's not really any of my business, but you're not going to be doing that in our ethno state. But I'm not going to track you down, you know, but that goes against what they've been told about white nationalists, that, you know, we are here to preserve our people, our heritage, our culture, our blood, and our future. And it's a positive thing. It's based on love and cultivation of life, not about, like, caring what every single person on the world does. What we want is to be able to have a safe harbor for our people, not, you know, go out of our way to, if there are whites that are anti-white, well, then you're not on the team. You're not part of the team. Simple as that.
Yeah. She can join the neutral zone.
You've been watching Man in the High Castle, haven't you?
I have. Wow, that show, man. What the what's going on in that show?
Well, it's Tuesday, so that's Burn Day, right?
Oh yeah, Burn Day. We burn all the homos and the defective people.
Well, you think after like 20 years, when the time the show takes place, there wouldn't be any of them really, really left.
There's a lot of Jews in the show too, and supposedly the Holocaust happens in this alternate reality. Like, I'm trying to watch this show and understand this as not what would happen if the Axis won World War II, but what a Jew thinks would happen if the Axis won World War II. So they refer to themselves as Nazis, but there's still Jews around. So that's what I'm not grasping. So they stopped at the 6 million mark. All they wanted was 6 million.
The quota's failed.
They're like, all right, guys, we got the 6 million. We're done exterminating the Jews now.
Well, you can see in the show that obviously the Japanese are put in a more favorable light than the National Socialists, which I think is really interesting because, you know, if you go back to World War II, even Dr. Seuss drawing the most racist caricatures of Japanese you could possibly imagine of, like, slant-eyed tiny monkey people, like the most absolutely non-representative look of what the Japanese people and culture actually are, completely over the top, right? America was so gung-ho to go and fight the Japanese, and against the Germans, not so much. I mean, we did it, but, and, you know, of course, it was tragic that we fought either side, but, you know, there really was an enthusiasm with every World War II veteran I've ever talked to that fought in the Pacific Theater. There was a lot of excitement about what they were doing because the Japs hit us at Pearl Harbor. Of course, that was specifically pushed for by the FDR administration. Also, never forget, why did Hitler declare war on the United States? A couple different reasons, but also including the North Atlantic Fleet, where under false flags, not false flags in regards to like setting things up, but like literally flying the wrong flags of merchant ships and things like that, we had vessels out in the North Atlantic that were actually sinking Kriegsmarine vessels. So, you know, if someone's sinking your ships, that's kind of a declaration of war, and it makes sense. But anyway, there was a real gung-ho thing about fighting the Japanese. And, of course, there was the differences in race, of course, that played into it. There's Pearl Harbor that played into it. But now we fast forward 72 years now after the end of World War II, and you can see in Jewish Hollywood what they're turning out is an incredibly sympathetic portrait of the Japanese, all things considered, where the evil National Socialists, these evil Nazis, are the real bad guys trying to destroy the world. The Japanese want peace.
The Japanese, at least what I'm up to, and I really don't want to spoil anything for anyone who's intending to watch that pile of garbage.
You keep watching it though.
Yeah, it's.
I think it's like eating Doritos. Like you can't just have one.
Yeah, I mean, in the very beginning, it really did seem that way. The Japanese don't want peace any more than the Nazis want peace.
Nazis!
Yes. Yeah, the Japanese want to maintain their power and kind of overthrow the Germans, and Germans want to overthrow everything because they want to kill everything because they're evil Nazis. But what I did notice in the first few episodes was that they were insinuating that the Japanese are a more spiritual people. They're more spiritually in tune than the European people. They made that, they're like, very explicit.
Well, the Third Reich banned Bibles.
Yeah, the Third Reich bans the Bibles, and the kid was explaining that, oh, since the state has proved that there's no such thing as God, that we have to create a heaven here on Earth. I was like, what the...
Which is literally the talking points of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, I'm like, why did you put swastikas on the Soviets?
Well, you know, and you were talking about, like, you know, these things that are supposedly so evil, right? Like, you know, the Germans are supposedly so evil, but it meshes with, like, you know, it's the 60s, but it's more like a 1950s, like, idealized version of America. And you were talking about, you know, the Übergruppenführer Smith's son. When he was playing catch with one of the characters, it's not a plot point, so I feel like we can talk about it. And the difference between, like, modern American society with youth versus what happened in that scene. So maybe you could break it down and we could discuss that.
Oh, yeah, he was playing catch with that one dude before his dad came in. And the guy asks the kid, you know, what do you want to do? And he's like, oh, there's so many things. You know, if I want, you know, if he wanted to join the military or what he wanted to do. But he said, overall, he wants to make his family proud. He wants to make his nation proud. That's overall what he wants to do. I'm like, wow, what a sick and disgusting future this would have been.
Where people had pride in who they are and could actually build things. And...
like, so long as that's what he was doing with his future, he was okay with whatever he was doing.
Yeah, because it's crazy. you have duty and responsibility. I mean, it's a pretty simple principle, but it's something that's extremely complicated for America because it's all about feelings. It's all about the individual versus responsibility and duty. And, I mean, you just look at what would have happened, you know. I mean, first of all, it's an absolutely ludicrous idea that the Third Reich would have invaded America and occupied America. Considering the population difference, there were more Americans than there were Germans total, but that's really neither here nor there. But this world that they've crafted where, you know, I think we've talked about it before, but you've got a National Socialist officer who is the only, like, real grown man who actually acts like a man in all of television. Like, what does that tell you about the Jewish system? That everything that is normal, natural, healthy, and organic about being a man, of having a wife and having kids and having responsibility and duty to nation and duty to greater principles than yourself, is a guy with a literal swastika armband on. That's how they equate these things, that even if you're not a National Socialist, then if you believe in any form of traditional values, you're literally a Nazi in the eyes of these Jewish producers and writers.
Yeah, he's not Fred Flintstone. He's not Peter Griffin. He's not Steve Smith. He's not fat. He's not stupid. He's not retarded. He's not goofy. He is a father who cares for his family and is highly intelligent and just, you know, he has his priorities straight. That's the antithesis of what the American father is supposed to be, and that's not a new thing, because like I mentioned, Fred Flintstone, that's forever ago. But that was like a proto Peter Griffin.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Smith, you know, from the first episode of the series, he, you know, when there's the assassination attempt against him, and I feel like the first episode's been out for a couple of years now, so we can talk about it. And what does he do? Does he run away? Does he cower? No, he chases down his assassins as he's bloodied and, like, has been blown up, and the dude don't stop. And that's what it's about. It's about saying, like, it doesn't even matter if you might lose your life and you're putting yourself in danger, you're actually going to put yourself forward to punish those. And you know what? The entire series, the Resistance, is garbage. They're garbage. They're bad people. Like, they're really bad people. So would you suggest to our listeners to watch The Man in the High Castle now that you're moving further and further through the series?
If you like little cookies, I mean, there's a lot of cookies they give us.
George Lincoln Rockwell, yeah. Airport or stadium?
Yeah, things like that. They give us little cookies, but throughout it, you will notice that the Resistance is much like Antifa, and they're much like all these liberals that we have right now in the real world. They are fighting against this... they're fighting against this ideology. They're fighting against this way of life without actually knowing what it is they're fighting for. It's an abstract idea. They just have been told that what they're doing is right, and they're doing it anyway.
Yeah, and that about sums it up. And you want to talk about, you know, within our mass media, where there's not a lot of selections for us, but you know what is one selection that would never, ever have anything bad happen to it? Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings is a strong European mythos, and it looks like the next Lord of the Rings game that's coming out has black characters in it, which makes absolutely zero sense. And there's an article that I was looking at that an American academic, I love that term, who teaches at Warwick University in the UK, has described J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings trilogy as an epic rooted in racism. Okay, now, is this going to be an Anglo academic? Is this going to be an Irish academic? Dr. Stephen Shapiro echoes around that one. An expert in cultural studies, race, and slavery. Said the author uses his novels to present bigotry through a fantasy world. He said, put simply, Tolkien's good guys are white, and the bad guys are black, slant-eyed, unattractive, inarticulate, and psychologically undeveloped, and a psychologically undeveloped horde. So we need to be against Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings be racist. So, Jason, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, if we lived in a world filled with intelligent people, people capable of any kind of deductive reasoning, we would be able to see that Mr. Shapiro is the one likening these people, these bad guys in Lord of the Rings, to minorities in the real world. We don't do that. So we weren't seeing it that way. He is seeing it that way, and well, he is trying...
Speak for yourself, sir.
Yeah.
Men of the West coming together, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can view it that way, but that's simply not the storyline. That's not the way it is. Objectively, that is not the way the author made it, but that is what this Jew is telling everybody to think, and therefore everyone will think it. And just like the characters in Men in the High Castle that are fighting for something they're not entirely sure about, everyone will get behind this and everyone will get angry about Lord of the Rings until there's more people of color.
Well, you know, they'll go back George Lucas did with the Star Wars movies, and, you know, they CG added in a bunch of things. So we'll go back and watch the special edition of Lord of the Rings in 10 years, and Frodo will be, like, a gangbanger from the hood. You know, Gandalf will be played by Snoop Dogg, you know, with his magic weed. And it's going to just be a diversity palooza. And, I mean, you look at how diversity destroys things. I was reading a great article over at Identity Dixie about the breakdown of The Walking Dead, for instance, as a show that started off really strong, really good. And, you know, there were non-white characters, but it was never only a white show. And now, as each season goes by, it gets more and more diverse. There's homosexuals and more strong black independent women and beaten women that aspire to feminist ideals and all sorts of people of color. But all the bad guys pretty much are white. Like, that remains the constant. I mean, it's just like in the new Star Wars movies, where if you look, it's the ragtag, multicultural, feminist empowering Rebel Alliance against the white, like, literally British, like, literally speak in British accents, empire, that are evil. We are the bad guys in every single movie, in every single everything. They have to make us the bad guys and vilify anything that is strong, anything that is patriarchal, anything that has any form of, like, I don't know, duty or, you know, any sort of legislation on people's behavior to make it, you know, them act in a more positive way. Everything in modern America is we're the bad guys. And usually we're brutal sociopaths. Like, if you look at the most recent seasons of Walking Dead, the current bad guy, Negan, as a white guy, like, just for no reason, decides to go and start hitting random people in the head with a baseball bat. Why? Because he's a bad guy, you know? And that's just, you're a white guy, you're a bad guy.
Yeah. I haven't kept up with The Walking Dead for that reason. The story became extraordinarily bland. Most of the episodes were just people staring at each other for 20 minutes. So I had to kind of fall off of it, but I did notice along the lines of when I stopped watching it, that it was becoming more diverse. It was becoming a little bit more, as you had described it. And the bad guys were always white, even back when I was watching it with a governor. He had the whole town set up. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful town. It was a beautiful area. And then these guys came in and screwed everything up, and all of a sudden he became the bad guy.
Yeah. And obviously every white guy that's strong and a leader has something psychologically wrong with him.
Yeah.
You know, like the governor or Negan or others all have something wrong with them. And that's what it comes down to, that if in the apocalypse, as you're trying to rebuild some form of society where normal laws and normal systems don't apply, you know, we're talking about survival here of the human species, as billions of people have been transformed into to rampaging undead ghouls, To have any form of structure other than just this loose multicultural band that absolutely screws itself up and never seems to get anything done, you've got to have some deep-seated psychological problems. They're trying to really, it's just like in the Soviet Union, that if you were religious, they would classify you as being antisocial. They would say that there is something wrong with you, that if you believe in God, if you believe in, you know, these sorts of principles. And I really feel like in our society, if you're a white person, they are trying to create a system that if you believe in any form of identity or any form of strength, then there's got to be something wrong with you, and you are intrinsically the bad guy. Now, speaking of bad guys, a case that has really, really, really gotten under my skin happened in Georgia, where two white folks are facing 20 years and 15 years, respectively, for street gang terrorism. And this case was at a Confederate flag rally. One of the Confederate flag, the cars in the Confederate flag rally got a flat tire near a black birthday party. The black birthday party decided they want to go make words, started throwing things at the vehicle, and a gun was apparently displayed by the vehicle. As people are throwing things and threatening them. And I've seen the video. All the video that's been released that I've been able to see, there is not a single evidence of whites using racial slurs, which they've been alleged to have used, or threatened to hurt anyone. It's the blacks that are saying, you know, all sorts of different things. You know, we'll see you around and all sorts of things like that. But what happened is the police were there, didn't actually make any arrests at the event. You know, things were happening, actually looking at the event, didn't make any arrests. But the district attorney decided to charge these white folks for, as they're having things pelted at them, and there's a mob surrounding their disabled vehicle, the idea of pointing a gun, allegedly, at the crowd to say, like, everyone back off and cool down, was street gang terrorism, because they were flying Confederate flags. We're not dying, by the way, over here. I think everyone just has a cough, so I apologize. We do know. The Church's Worker Party has not contracted pneumonia and or tuberculosis. We keep having these weather changes where it's like 70 degrees, then it's like 30 degrees, and then 65 degrees, and then it's 40 degrees. It's really, I think, messing with everyone's system. So I apologize for the coughing, ladies and gentlemen. So in this case, because they allegedly used the N-word, and because they were flying a Confederate flag, they were charged under street gang terrorism, where the guy is getting 20 years in prison, which is the maximum sentence in Georgia for voluntary manslaughter. If he had actually gone out and shot somebody, he would have gotten the same, and they'd given him the maximum sentence. Because voluntary manslaughter is 1 to 20 years. So the maximum sentence for literally killing someone, for not hurting anyone, not firing a shot, but having a Confederate flag and allegedly using the N-word as you display a gun, as there's a mob pelting things at you, that's 20 years in prison. So God bless the American judicial system.
Well, we know these things because we are national socialists. We are not retarded. So we're able to identify everything wrong with this. We're able to identify the double standards and all this. What I'm interested in when things like this happen is the general public's perspective on things. And I've been reading through a lot of comments on what people have been saying. And I have to conclude, as always, that the general public is pretty freaking retarded. There was a comment that I read that said, if they didn't do it, why are they in there crying and apologizing? Well, the answer to that is that our people have been so browbeaten about being white, about doing anything, about even so far as defending themselves against a group that is circling around them like vultures, that they feel that they still have done something wrong in this particular case. There was another comment that I read that, don't pull out a gun unless you're going to use it, okay? It's like the law. And unfortunately, that's not the law. Or rather, fortunately, that is the law. Guns are used to de-escalate a situation. If every time somebody pulled a gun was going to shoot it, then there would never be a single arrest made in this country. There would only be public executions. So,
There have been many studies done that several million times a year firearms are pulled in self-defense, and only a few thousand times, are they actually fired? So, if you're looking at that now, that does not give an excuse to not be John Wayne and go out and every time you get into a bar fight or a confrontation, don't pull a gun. It is, if you genuinely feel fear for your life, and that's, what many states have a stand-your-ground law, If you genuinely feel fear for your life, that can be a tool, but you have to be prepared and trained that if someone is trying to kill you, or you feel like someone is trying to kill you and your life is in danger, you have to know the laws, you have to follow things seriously. But this isn't about the law. It's about public perception, that because they even claimed that in this case, that they were inspired by Dylann Roof. So these people, again, didn't shoot anyone, didn't even fire a shot, that because they're white with a Confederate flag during these Confederate flag heritage rallies, they're claiming they were inspired by Dylann Roof and wanted to terrorize the black community. I think it's very bizarre that there is no evidence of any form of terrorizing the black community in a 45% black county at any point in time other than the time a mob of black people started pelting things at a disabled vehicle that was flying a Confederate flag. That seems like a very bizarre thing, but apparently flying the flag of that's a soldier's flag, that under the United States law, Confederate veterans are to be treated with the same respect as American veterans. So the flag of what is both a Southern veteran, but also legally an American veteran, is now treated as a gang sign. It's good to know that any form of our culture, we're officially part of a gang just because the color of our skin. That's what we've been saying for a long time. You pick your side. You know, your skin is your uniform that you're born into. But now they're just legislating it, essentially, that if you're white, you're in the wrong.
I mean, this is why in times like, you know, when you're seeing shows like The Walking Dead or even Man in the High Castle, when the bad guy is white and, he's doing a lot of great things, but then there's just that one thing that's off and like, oh, no, he's a bad guy. Well, no, he's not a bad guy because I'm on Team White. So I'm behind that guy.
Yeah.
To me, Obergruppenführer Smith did nothing wrong. the governor did nothing wrong. The Empire did nothing wrong.
Definitely did nothing wrong.
The Empire did nothing
That's
wrong.
The Lord's truth.
Yeah. So no, I'm on Team White. And I think this is something that America needs to come to grips with, is that it's time for balkanization, because this multicultural experiment that none of us volunteered for is not working. If you're looking at our symbols of our heritage and our identity as hostile to you, then you have to concede that we are simply not compatible. We're not going to give up our symbols. We're not going to give up our identity. And we don't expect you to give up yours. But we will put forward this idea that we need to separate because this isn't working.
Well, and the biggest thing is I'm not mad at the black family, like, because it isn't their symbol, right? They should have their own symbols and their own space and all that good stuff. I'm mad at the judicial system because it was a white judge and a white district attorney that did this. These are whites that were showboating and standing on their soapbox to put forward that what any sane human being would think is absolutely ridiculous sentences. These are whites that did this. These are whites that are trying to show they're one of the good ones, right? They're not like those evil, racist rednecks. You know, the bourgeoisie class of the white cosmopolitans hates the white working class and any display of white working class symbols because they like being part of the cosmopolitan elite.
Yeah. That's pretty much the thing. I mean, I'm not mad at the black community. I'm not mad at the brain-dead white community that's groveling. Not directly. I'm mad that they have not yet seen that this is a Jewish system that has pitted us against one another.
Jews are bad, yeah, okay.
They fail to see, with all the information that exists on the internet right now, that the truth is a click away. And it has been for a long time, and they still refuse to see it. They still refuse to look at it. That's what I'm mad about.
Yeah.
I'm mad that they just won't see it. They refuse to see it. Kicking and screaming. They still want to think that this is black versus white. They still want to think that this is, like there is no Jewish equation. I've seen a lot of comments saying, can you just stop, being anti-Semitic? This has nothing to do with the Jews. Like, this has literally every single thing to do with the Jews.
Every one of the hate speech laws, every one of these things that we have within our legal system, these are all pushed by the Jews. You want to talk about our legal system? You know, with our private prisons that we've created, where millions of people are incarcerated to make profit for multinational corporations. You know, for instance, if you look, and I think the black community does have legitimate critiques when it comes to the prison system, that so many black men are thrown in prison for nonviolent drug offenses. Same with whites as well. That, and it's to make money. When corporations get a bounty on every person that's thrown in prison in these private prisons, well, there's an incentive not for justice or rehabilitation, but to keep people in jail for the longest period of time humanly possible. And that just goes in the Jewish system, where money trumps everything. Justice in the judicial system does not exist, but a worship of money does. And in the name of tough on crime and stuff like that, they're not actually going after the real criminals. They're not going after the drug dealers to stop the flow of drugs. They're not going after the murderers. Again, in Georgia, you could go ahead and, you know, worst case scenario, you get the same sentence that this guy got for not hurting a single soul. So if you look at how our judicial system is broken, it's about posturing, it's about advancing the Jewish narrative, and it's about attacking all people. So go ahead, Jason, give us our final thought to carry us out for the day.
I'm not going to stop being anti-Semitic. I'm not going to stop calling out the Jews. I'm not going to stop pointing everyone in the direction of the Jew when things like this happen. So to anyone who's constantly asking me or Matthew Heimbach or anyone at the Traditionalist Worker Party to calm down with the anti-Semitism, to calm down with calling out the Jew, the answer is no.
Amen. All right, I agree with you. Well, Jason Augustus, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for putting up with us during our coughing fits. But lots of great shows that are coming this week. Very, very excited about it. So I hope everyone has a great and wonderful rest of your day, and I'm looking forward to being here tomorrow. So have a good day, and hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at Radio Area.com.